much. We have a one-page handbook, paperless handbook for this, and I believe that the number of tokens is not enough. So if you would be so kind to share the handles, let's say two people reading together the same paper. Thank you so much. And practically, this handle serves a very simple goal. You can see the names of the protagonists of my paper, Hungarian musicologists, and you can see some very basic or fundamental data about them, about their biography and scholarly work. So, in this paper, I'm raising questions pertinent to the changing conceptualization of national music history in the post-Stalinist period of Hungarian state socialism. I will argue that the political power's increasing apprehensions about nationalism were accompanied by its acceptance of a greater thematic and methodological diversity in the field of musicology. From 1948 and on, in terms of musical composition and musicological research, Stalin-era Hungarian administration dutifully followed the Soviet cultural political doctrine Zhdanovshchina. Another impact on policymaking was the aesthetic, educational, and scholarly agendas of composer, musicologist, and educator Zoltán Kodály, the grand old man and number one authority of Hungarian musical life. However different, these systems of ideas had a great deal of resonance between them. Their shared preferences for the folkloristic national classicism, for the vocal genres, and for the artistic role of being an educator of the people. From 1951 onwards, the political leaders of cultural life looked upon Kodály more and more as a fellow traveler rather than an enemy, in spite of the differences of views which tended to be oppressed and kept beneath the surface. At the same time, Kodály sustained his reputation as a genuine national icon whose music was capable of expressing, even if in riddles, anti-Stalinist sentiments in the eyes of various political and cultural circles, especially after 1953. In the same year, so in 1953, the Hungarian Academy of Sciences set up the Folk Music Research Group. This secured for Kodály officially sanctioned institutional framers to take care of a group of scholars that had been active for years. The focus of their work, just like in previous years, had been editing a complete critical edition, the collection of Hungarian folk music. Kodály integrated his research on folk music into a broader construction of national music history. During the interwar period, he defined the actual subject of the history of Hungarian music in collaboration with one of his former students in composition, Bence Szabolcsi, who received his doctorate from the University of Leipzig. According to Kodály and Szabolcsi, the main topics of Hungarian music history were vocal music with Hungarian words, on the one hand, and the instrumental music of 19th and 20th century Hungarian composers, in as much as it showed Hungarian national specificities, on the other. Kodály and Szabolcsi regarded folk music, that is, an orally transmitted musical tradition maintained by the peasantry, as an organic part of their historical process, of the historical process. They supposed that folk music, which had been properly collected, recorded, systematized, and researched since the beginning of the 20th century, incorporated historical phenomena from which Hungarian musical cultural practices of the earlier centuries can be reconstructed. As Kodály put it, with a certain amount of pathos in 1933, quote, "The most valuable part of the Hungarian monumenta musici does not appear from the dust of archives, but from a living source, the memory of the people. We do not know yet how far this memory extends to, but it is certain that it does much farther than the 15th century. This is the Hungarian music history. One only has to learn to read it." Unquote. During their search for the specifically Hungarian music, Godai and Sobolevsky also took into account the local popular musical idiom of the 19th century, which had been regarded as the Hungarian music by contemporary Hungarian and as still on ground by European middle classes. The two scholars, however, identified differences of degree between the cultural phenomena they regarded as Hungarian. They distinguished between the more and the less Hungarian. As is well known, the tribes who spoke one of the Finno-Greek languages, namely Hungarian, appeared in the Carpathian Basin with a late wave of the migration period in the 9th century. The process is referred as conquest in Hungarian historiography. Kodály assumed that the song repertory of the Hungarian peasantry preserved melodies whose origins can be traced back to the oldest times of the pre-conquest period, and which therefore represents the state of affairs of the Hungarian musical culture before its interactions with Western culture. As a broad framework of their project of systematization, Béla Bartók and Zoltán Kodály distinguished an old and a new style of Hungarian folk music. Could I assume that one of the old-style melodic types, namely the pentatonic descending fifth-shifting formula, is the most archaic historical layer of Hungarian folk music? Could I regard these songs as the purest manifestations of musical Hungarianness, or, to quote his openly ideological formulation of 1939, the unchanged fundament of Hungarian soul? Kodály wished to verify his premise with linking the scientific results of ethnogenesis, historical linguistics, and folk music research. He hoped that the examination of the folk music of Mari people of the Volga region would lead to the discovery of parallels with some elements of the Hungarian musical tradition and, consequently, would confirm the Finno-Greek origins of the latter. Back to the post-war situation. The Zhdanovian doctrine privileged musical composition based on folkloristic and national traditions, which, in turn, propelled research into national and ethnic specificities during the period of 1948-1956. Though heated debates took place over the question of whether the old or the new style of folk songs or the 19th century national popular style was the most compatible with socialist realist art, the acknowledgement of the unity of the folk national tradition, as it was called, provided the debating partners with a common ground. It was even possible that in 1950, in a meeting of the Hungarian Musicians Association, which was held to evaluate the new Hungarian mass songs propagating communist agendas, the composer and folk music researcher Pál Járdányi, a former student of Kodály, categorized the works according to musical Hungarianness, discussing a piece by István Sárközi entitled Song of Peace, so typical mass song topic. So discussing this piece, Járdányi argued as follows, quote, "This is a healthy melody and more or less Hungarian, but it is also a remarkable example of something that is not felt pentatonic, although its first half is actually purely pentatonic." Unquote. And now we are going to our era, that is the post-Stalinist era, post-56 era in Hungary. Activists partaking in the anti-Stalinist revolution of 1956 often applied the rhetoric of national independence and referred to the symbols of the nationalistic liberalism of the 1848 revolution. After the 1956 revolution was crushed, the restored state socialist cultural administration turned more cautious about references to national values and traditions. The so-called revolutionary or progressive nationalism encouraged by Stalinism was no longer in high demand, as was clearly shown in the 1959 thesis of the Hungarian Socialist Workers' Party titled On Bourgeois Nationalism and Socialist Patriotism. Around 1960, On a number of occasions, the folk music research group, that is the group led by Kodály, became the target of the new cultural political management for its reactionary nationalism. In 1962, an article was published under the title of The Nationalism and the Hungarian Music History in the Journal of the Hungarian Musicians Association. Its author, Janos Marulti, and his name again can be found in your handout. So Marulti is the author of this article, The Nationalism and the Hungarian Music History, published in 1962. Marulti intended to apply the Communist Party's nationalism thesis to the field of music. Marulti was a controversial figure of Hungarian musicology. He was, on the one hand, an important advisor to the cultural political administration on musical and musicological matters. Therefore, he exerted great influence upon the destiny of musicological institutions, projects, and researchers. However, in the post-1956 era, he assumed a new leftist position, from where even the pragmatism of the post-Stalinist cultural policies was exposed to critique. But, unlike some other Marxist intellectuals, Marulti never transgressed the limits of politically accepted public discourse. Consequently, he was able to secure his privileged position in the state socialist academy establishment. It should also be noted that Marulti, a former pupil of philosopher György Lukács, was not a simpleton Marxist-Leninist, but a scholar of critical and reflective mind and occasionally suggestive argument. His essay on nationalism discussed the phenomenon in the fields of musical composition as well as musicology. A remarkable feature of his argument is that he depicted the Stalinist era as a period of the historical development of Hungarian musical nationalism. He distinguished three epochs of the story. Those were the romantic nationalism of the 19th century, the folksy nationalism of the first half of the 20th century, and the decadent nationalism which appeared after the communist takeover of 1948. He examined the nationalistic tendencies characterizing musicological research in detail, advancing credible argument against the essentialism of the view that underlied the search for ethno-national specificities. He emphasized that the musical cultural phenomena of historical Hungary, a multi-ethnic country in the middle of Europe with a complex and changing social structure, cannot be understood in terms of such simplifying dichotomies as West or East, master or peasant, Hungarian or foreign. These dichotomies were taken by Marulti from various writings by Kodály's from the interwar period, but Marulti didn't mention Kodály's name in the article, so he expresses his doubts about these dichotomies without specifying the source of these concepts. Okay, so Marulti underlined the importance of the research on the musical life of 18th, 19th century towns and their urban middle classes. As to the problems of the prehistory of Hungarian music, Marulti questioned the concept which developed from seeking parallels with the music of peoples who speak cognate languages of Hungarian. Referring to recent musicological studies by Benjamin Rajewski, in the name appearing in your handout, so referring to studies by Rajewski and Lajos Varjas, Marulti turned the attention of his readers to the Western and South European connections of Hungarian folk music. He also urged a comparative study of Hungarian folk music with the music of the neighboring Slavonic and Romanian peoples, emphasizing Béla Bartók's legacy in this respect. In the Srilander editorial board of the journal publishing Marulti's article, Bence Szabolcsi had a chair too. The fact that he gave his name to the publication of this text seems to suggest that his academic alliance with Kodály at least weakened by the beginning of the 1960s. In 1959, the work of the Folk Music Research Group, still led by Kodály, was assessed at the Academy of Sciences. In the process, serious doubts were expressed whether, focusing on the collection and systematization of folk music, the group was in a position to generate scholarly results that were relevant and were talking to such related fields as history, ethnography, and musicology. As an answer to the criticism, Benjamin Rajewski, again a name on your handout, so as an answer to this criticism, Benjamin Rajewski was appointed deputy director of the Folk Music Research Group by Kodály himself, who was, however, emphatically advised by Szabolcsi and other musicologists to do so. prior to his appointment and Moruti's appreciation of him, coming at a later point of time, deserve attention not only because Raevski's worldview was so different from that of the communists, but also because his scholarship kept a significant distance to Kodály's paradigm too. He, Raevski, studied theology and history of music in Innsbruck in the 1920s and was a visiting student of Kodály's courses in Budapest in the 1930s. Raevski had been the prior of the Cistercian order until it was, together with other religious orders, liquidated by the communists. His research focused primarily upon the plain chant and its traditions in Hungary, on the culture of early polyphony in Hungary, and on folk music. These three major avenues of inquiry resulted in the complex study of musical culture in medieval Hungary, consistently seen and shown within its European context. The shift in politics also favored some other projects in musicology, emphatic about the embeddedness of Hungarian history and culture in the European or even Western European tradition and context. In 1960, János Maroti and Lajos Szabolcsi elaborated a long-term plan of musicological research in which they proposed the commencement of comparative research of European folklore, the exploration of the sources of the works of foreign 18th century composers in Hungary, the examination of the international aspects of the musical sources of Hungary, and the continuation of the research on Haydn. Hungarian scholarship on Josef Haydn had its beginnings in the second half of the 1950s. As is well known, Haydn served one of the richest Hungarian aristocratic families, the Esterházys, for three decades. In the wake of the Second World War, a considerable part of the private collection of the Esterházys, including numerous manuscripts and other documents from Haydn, got into the possession of Hungarian public repositories. Following some pioneering projects by librarians and archivists, this extremely rich documentation began to be processed on behalf of the musicological profession by Dénes Barta and his young disciple László Somfai. Already in September 1959, Hungarian Haydn scholarship got a splendid opportunity to present its results internationally at the International Haydn Conference in Budapest. The week-long event, attended by some of the greatest international names of the profession, provided forum for scholars coming from socialist as well as capitalist countries. It has been the achievement of Bence Szabolcsi that the issue of a musicological institute got revitalized. This had to do with the settlement achieved in 1958 concerning the bequest of Béla Bartók, greatest Hungarian composer of the 20th century, who died in New York in 1945. According to the settlement arrived at, between the Hungarian Academy of Sciences and Bartók Béla Jr., Bartók's papers in Hungary got permanently deposited with the Hungarian Academy of Sciences. Eventually, the Budapest Bartók Archives was launched in September 1961, with Szabolcsi as its director. Szabolcsi then saw to it that the Bartók Archives gradually metamorphosed into a veritable many-sided center for musicological research. Following the death of Zoltán Kodály in 1967, Bence Rajecki succeeded him as director of the Folk Music Research Group. His appointment approved by the leadership of the Hungarian Academy of Sciences, and it was not opposed by the cultural political administration either, in spite of Rajecki's clerical background. Within the folk music group, however, there was a growing resistance to him and his younger disciples László Bobszai and Jankos Endrei, and also to their shared interest in plain chant. In 1969, some members of their opposition requested the intervention of the Scientific, Cultural and Educational Department of the Central Committee of the Communist Party in order to force Rajecki to retire. This initiative resulted in a thorough investigation of the Folk Music Research Group. One of the minor findings seems to be telling in terms of the attitudes of those in conflict with Rajecki. In informal talks, they labeled themselves, Rajecki's opposition as roots, it's a term I will explain soon. So they labeled themselves as roots and named the circle of Rajecki Lobons. These terms referred respectively to the anti-Habsburg insurrectionists and the pro-Habsburg forces of Hungary in the 17th and 18th centuries. So it's kind of symbolic historical speech based on the early modern age idea about national independence versus being incorporated into an empire, into the Habsburg Empire. Okay, so that was the symbolic language. This symbolic usage of these terms in a given context expressed a feeling that the research undertaken by Rajewski touched a sensitive point of national identity building. In some of his publications of the 1960s, he presented his discoveries of the similarities between the oldest historical layers of the Hungarian folk song repertoire and some melodic ideas of the early Middle Ages Mediterranean region and Western Europe. Regardless of the matters of origins and genealogy, these similarities in themselves question the existence of a specific difference, or Latin differentia specifica, which would have sharply distinguished the Hungarian tradition from the monophonic musical culture of Europe. Furthermore, Rajewski's writings gradually redefined the subject of Hungarian music history. For him, the Hungarianness of a musical phenomenon was not a specific essence or quality. He regarded it as a historically changing context of cultural products of various origins and spread. A context which is never exclusive, but possesses the strengths of shaping. To sum up and conclude, the cultural political regime of Hungary after Stalin, and especially during the reform period in the 1960s, looked and in many respects even promoted a genuine broadening of Hungarian musicological research in terms of topics and methodology. It was, however, rather unfortunate circumstance that some very important questions of historiography were discussed in the shadow of the anti-nationalist campaign of the political power. Relevant and academically articulated critical arguments against the essentialist view of the history of Hungarian music were easily, even if silently, dismissed as political attacks by those whose ideas were criticized. Ironically, the victimization suffered even led some to seek the assistance of the same political power in order to resolve what actually was a genuine scholarly conflict. Thank you very much for your attention.